everyone.
Good morning.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to be continuing in Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4. And we're going to continue the practice of believers. And today's lesson is in relationship to our former life. Basically, the old man versus the new man. Okay, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 32. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. But if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come to you now, Father, and I just ask that you put me out of the way, Lord. Help me not to say anything that's not in your book, Lord, and help guide my words, Lord. I've been studying this for a couple of weeks, and I just pray, Lord, that it'll just glorify you and edify our members, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we just want to be obedient children to you, Lord. So help us today and guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, in verse 17 it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walked, in the vanity of their mind." Now, back over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, 2, and 3, I want to read that. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." So that verse 1 says we were dead in our sin. That was spiritual death, or separated from God because of our sin. Then in verse 2 of chapter 2, it says, "Wherein in times past," excuse me, "you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So here that prince and that spirit, they're both references to Satan. Then in verse 3 of chapter 2, it says, "Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of the wrath, even as others." So that was our conversation. That was the manner of our life, fulfilling of desires of the flesh or of the mind. So it said in our, back in our text, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walked in the vanity of their mind. Now, also in Colossians 3:7 it says, in the which ye also walked sometimes when you lived in them. So here Paul is describing the conduct characterized by the heathen or the pagan way of life and the vanity and the futility way of thinking. In verse 17, this I say therefore, testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. All right, verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So I want you to go over to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 21, Romans 1:21. And it says, Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So in our text, it said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So the old man, that's what this is talking about. The old man, the darkness always alienates from God, always. Okay? Now verse 19 says, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness and greediness. Okay, so being past feelings, what he's saying here is don't let your heart get calloused. That's what he's saying. In 1 Peter 4:3, it says, for the times past our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reviling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Now, I wanted to look around here and make sure. I looked up the word lasciviousness, and I wasn't going to repeat this if I seen any young people in here. That's very disgusting. Basically, it's talking about animals and lust. So that's what the lasciviousness needs. So what Paul's saying here is to remember who you were when you were the old man, before you were saved. Okay? That's verse 19. Let's go to verse 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Now here, Paul, he's being a little sarcastic. And I think he kind of had that in him. I think there's probably a lot of us here that can relate to that. I know I can. So he's saying here, but ye have not so learned Christ. He's being sarcastic. He's basically getting on to him. Verse 21, it says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So I'm thankful that we got Ephesians 1:13, where it says, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So here they heard him, they were taught by him, and the truth was in him, in Jesus. And then in John 14:6 it says, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. John 14:6. Then in verse 22 of our text it says, but ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now in Colossians 3:8-9 it says, but now ye also put off all these. And then he goes into a list: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So here this verse is telling you to lay it aside, put off the old man. Then in verse 23 it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So here you're to put it on. We were told the verse before that, put it off. Now it's saying put it on. Now this putting on in verse 23 is something that is done continuously. That's all part of our sanctification. We are to do it continuously. Put on the new man, the new lady, whatever it may be. We're talking about the old way we were and the new way we were. So we are to lay it aside in verse 22. In 23, we're to put it on. In Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, folks, this process is from the inside out. When you put on the new man, you put it on in here. And the process is that it works out through you, the new man. Now, verse 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So now we know from Isaiah that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We know that, okay? But when we put on the new man, when you get saved, you put on what the Bible calls the new man. We get his righteousness, not ours. Our righteousness is nothing. We get his righteousness when we put on the new man and his true holiness. That's what that verse says in verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, this verse, I went to Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17, and it says, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment and truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. So I think here what the Lord is saying is, you put away sinful anger or grudges that you may have. And this, I think this verse is talking about being with your neighbors, okay? Now, verse 26 and 27, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, folks, there is an anger that is not sinful. You say, no, you're not right. Well, I'm going to prove it to you. There might maybe like a righteous anger. Do you think you can have a righteous anger? Amen. I think you can, and I'm going to prove that to you also. Now, what is right and what is wrong, okay? Now, what is right and what is wrong is not based on man's law. It's not based on what I say. What is right and what is wrong is based on this. Okay, so there is righteous anger in this book. Jesus had righteous anger, and we're going to look at that. Okay, now, how about some examples of righteous anger? How about what it says in the Ten Commandments? Number six. Anybody know what number six is in the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill. Six commandments, Exodus 20, 13, thou shalt not kill. Now, when I think about that, one of the things that came to my mind was what happened down here in Moscow, Idaho, at the college there. Those four young people got murdered, you know, and they think they have the guy that done it, and, you know, that's, you know, until he's proven guilty, that's the way our system's set up, okay? But thou shalt not kill. That's wrong. It's wrong according to God's word, isn't it? Okay? There's a real big one. It's always been a sticking point for me. How about abortion? What is more innocent than a baby in the womb? I don't know of anything. You know, so helpless. You know, I can even remember back in the Clinton years where they were even doing the letting the baby be born and then killing the baby. You know, so what... That should give you a righteous anger. It does me. Okay, so that was an example. Now, we're going to look, first of all, in Mark 3, 5, and verse 1 through 6, it talks about Jesus being angry. And in verse 5, he says, and when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. Now, this is all about that they didn't think Jesus should heal anybody on the Sabbath. That's what that's talking about in verses 1 through 6. Jesus was angry. Okay? Now, here's a classic one. You probably know this one. Matthew chapter 5. Go there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible with you, your Bible might read a little different from this. And I'm going to give you an example of that in just a minute. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, and this is Jesus talking, he says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So Jesus is saying without a cause. Now, I'm going to give you a quote from the NIV Bible. I made the mistake years ago of buying one of these, but I've used it just to prove it wrong with this Bible. But I'm going to give you a quote from the NIV Bible from that same verse, 5:22. It says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. It leaves out without a cause. So that's why you got to be so careful with it. With the other Bibles, so I don't want to get into that right now. Okay, so, but back in our text, it says in 26 and 27, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the anger. Now, I want to look at one more example of anger. Go to John chapter 2. Sorry, I got a little ahead of myself. John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15. This is another example of Jesus being angry. And it says in verse 14, John chapter 2, and found in the temple those that sold ox and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made scorn of small cord, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Jesus was mad here, folks. They had made the temple into a place it shouldn't be. So that's another example of anger. And then back in our text in 26 and 27, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now, talked about all that anger. But even this anger, whatever it may be, must not be allowed to stay and fester and give the devil an opportunity to do what it says in verse 27. What does it say? Neither give place to the devil. So there is a righteous anger. What is right and what's wrong according to God's word. Where we go with it, that can be another thing. So where you go with it is verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. If you go with it where it's going to not, I don't even want to go there. If you give the devil a place, he'll take it and he'll run with it. Okay? All right, now, verse 28. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." If you go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to read that, and we're going to read verses 8 through 12. Excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8 through 12 says, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail, night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Verse 11. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but as busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." So in verses 7 through 10, Paul here, he cites his own example of working so as not to burden others. And then in 11 and 12, it says, in addition to not working, some were busybodies. Now, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, which if you don't have, it's a good study tool, I highly recommend it. According to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, a busybody is a meddling person, a person who pries into or meddles into the affairs of others. What did our text say in verse 28? "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." In Acts 20:35, it says, "I have showed you all things, how that so by laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, if you've been around very long, you really understand that verse. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, you want a real blessing, you give from your heart. And not grudgingly, you give from your heart. And I've always kind of been my motto, and my wife's real good about this. I don't see her, but she's real good about this. But when you give secretly. You don't give to get. You know, when you give secretively. You know, you don't go out here and stick your chest out. "I gave this, I gave that." That's not, you want a blessing? I don't feel like you'll get it. I mean, I'm not saying you won't. But it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, back in our text, verse 29 says, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So it said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, folks, anything that doesn't edify or minister grace to others is corrupt communication, according to this verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. In chapter 5, verse 4 of this Ephesians, it says, neither filthiness nor foolishness, nor foolish talking, nor gestures, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. So that's any unclean thing. And then in Colossians 3:8, it says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer everyone. And then in Colossians 3:16, I want to go there and read that. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So our text said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Now, folks, the Holy Spirit is grieved or pained through disobedience and resistance to his leading and conviction. You want to grieve the Holy Spirit, you'd be disobedient to him. You don't listen to him. You don't let him convict you when you need to be convicted. Now, then it goes on, it says, especially that you want to grieve the Holy Spirit, the tongue is the especially way to do it, because we just read 30, let me read it again. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, one of the ways that you can grieve him is through the tongue. It says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So you can grieve the Holy Spirit with your tongue by disobeying. Now, don't get me wrong here. That doesn't take your salvation away. Because if you go back over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, and I love this verse, it says, in whom ye also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth. So you heard the word of truth. You trusted the gospel of your salvation. The gospel is the what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when you get sealed, when you seal something, there's no taking it away. But can you grieve the Holy Spirit? I think you can, you know, by being disobedient, not letting him convict you of something. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then like it just said, especially the sins of the tongue, and from 29 and 31, read them again, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Edifying is very good, folks. You know, when you come to church, you come to church to do what? To get edified. You know, probably all of you here are saved. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're born again. But when you come here, you get built up. You get edified. You go back out in the world, and the world beats you up, especially you guys that are still working, you know. You get beat up out there. You come back here. You get edified. You get built up. You get sanctified. It's good for you. That's verse 29. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay? And then verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So we're to be kind to one another. Now, I know that's not always the easiest thing to do, but the Bible tells us to do it, to be kind to one another, to be tenderhearted. And that's not one of my virtues, folks, being tenderhearted, you know. A lot of you women are very much. I know my wife is. So we're to be tenderhearted. We're to be forgiving one another. Is that easy? Somebody comes up and offends you, forgive them. You know, it's what the Bible says. Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, when you think about that is, I don't know about you, but I've done some things that shouldn't be forgiven. And I'm sure we can all fill in the blank there. You know, we all deserve to die and go to hell. But through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not. You know, all you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Now, so with this, the practice of believers in relationship to our former lives. In verse 22, we are to put off the old man or the way we were before we were saved. Verse 23, we be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, folks, this renewing is a day-by-day thing. You got to do this every single day. You are to renew that new man every day. And what does it say in 2 Corinthians 4:16? The inward man is renewed day by day. And then in verse 24 it says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is creating righteousness and true holiness. So we are to put it off. We are to keep it renewed. And we are to put it on. Day by day. Okay? That's what I have. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word, Lord. And I know it did me some good, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you'll just use this word to all of us, Lord, and be able to take your word and apply it to our lives, Lord. Lord, there's none of us here that are perfect, Lord, especially me. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll just take your word and sanctify your saints, Lord, and help us all to be able to look to you for our guidance, Lord, and then all that we do. And Lord, when we do have to go through trials and temptations, Lord, that we can just look to you, Father, and know that you're still in charge, even though maybe there might be a thorn in our flesh, Lord. But you're still in charge, Lord. You still know what's going on. And Lord, I have to lift up our country too, Lord, and where it's headed, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you'll just intervene, Lord, because you tell us in the Word that we're to pray for our nation, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that you'll have a revival, Lord. Give us some spiritual leaders and guide us, Lord. Be with Pastor as he brings the services today, Lord. And if there's somebody here that don't know you, we pray today it'll be the day of salvation. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.